Well, Micah, I guess I'm going to preach the sermon that Rob was going to preach that I'm not going to preach. Is that the way it is? Okay. It's good to be here. Debbie and I have been away for a couple of weeks. It's good to be back and to be welcomed so warmly with a call at 8 o'clock this morning that Rob is sick and asking if I could preach. So here I am, and I'm glad to be here. And I hope you will be glad you were here, too. Chris and Mary and Rich have been away, and they're back as well. And if I'd been thinking, I would have said, well, you know, this would be a good experience for Chris as a missionary to be called an hour before church to preach. But I didn't think of it, Chris. I'm sorry. What is the greatest unexpected gift you have ever received? I thought about that not very long, obviously. Didn't have time to think very long. But one thing that came to my mind immediately was one time I was at my grandmother's house, my mother's mother, and my aunt lived there as well. She was not married. And I had been, let me just put it this way. She took me up in the attic. I had told her something. She knew I was working on something. And so she took me up in the attic and dug around, you know, like you do in an attic full of stuff. And she pulled out this guitar case. And we carried it downstairs, opened it up. It was a beautiful Gibson guitar, an old Gibson electric guitar. And if you know anything about instruments, old is good. And she gave that to me. I had begun to play around to begin learning to play the guitar, and she found out about it. So she just took me up there and grabbed that thing and brought it down and gave it to me. Couldn't believe it. I was just blown away that she gave that nice instrument to me. It wasn't just a guitar, it was a nice instrument. That guitar became a blessing to me. That gift that she gave me became a blessing, because with that I was able to practice a lot easier. It played a lot easier, and I was more motivated, and I learned to play ultimately well enough to get a full tuition scholarship to Oklahoma Christian and work as a recruiter, playing music and things like that. So that unexpected gift, totally unexpected, became a great blessing. And as I was thinking this morning about what I might talk to you about, this is the first thing that came to my mind. I thought of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about an unexpected gift. He calls it a grace, actually. The word grace, really part of the idea of grace, is a gift. It's something that's given to us that we do not deserve. We cannot earn it. Many people have explained it, and I think it explains it pretty well with the word grace as an acrostic, using each letter, and they explain grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. You can't do much worse than that. That's a pretty good definition of grace. But it, in essence, grace is a gift. And Paul was given a gift. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, he says, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the people of other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. So here is the Apostle Paul, who's given an unexpected gift. The gift is the gift of God's grace and the calling that he received to share that gift specifically with Gentiles. The mystery of the gospel. What God had revealed, that God from the very beginning, whenever he held in his mind what he was going to do when we as human beings sinned, which he knew we would, in his mind he'd already worked out the plan. And for a long time it was a mystery. It was something that was not revealed. A mystery is actually something that is revealed. That's why he talks about it here. And we find out that what God planned to do included not just the Jewish people, but it included Gentile people. That's most of us here today. And that we, according to what he says in verse 6, share together with Israel as heirs of God, heirs of this gift that is totally unexpected, that God gives by his grace. And so we actually become one body with Israel under the covenant of God, sharing together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, as Paul writes this letter to the Ephesian church, he talks about other gifts that were given. If you're familiar with the letter, at the very beginning, he offers praise to God as the one who blesses us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So that every blessing we have, every gift that comes to us, in essence, that is spiritual, comes from God himself. And then in chapter 2 and chapter 3, we've already looked some at chapter 3, Paul does what I think is illustrate some of the gifts that God gives, and especially illustrations of God's power, God's tremendous power to produce change in people and in his world. These are all gifts and blessings to us today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The gift is, the blessing is, that he has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. So here we are, people who are spiritually dead, who are, according to the way he describes it in the opening verses of chapter 2, and in other places in Ephesians, we are actually without hope, without God in the world, because we're dead. But God, through Christ, raises us from the dead. He makes us alive in Christ by his grace. as a gift that we do not deserve. And he emphasizes that several times in especially verses 4 through 10 of chapter 2 when he talks about how God made us alive. He says it's by grace that you have been saved. And he said God raised us up with Christ. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We're given the gift of grace by God himself so that as we enter into a relationship with God through Christ, he makes us alive. He raises us from the dead. But not only that, this may even be as astounding or maybe even more astounding. Chapter 2, verse 11. There have probably never been two groups of people who hated each other more or who had more trouble getting along than the Jews and the Gentiles in the first century. Paul illustrates the power of God and the extent of God's grace and blessing in chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, by saying, "Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised," that was a derogatory term, "by those who are called themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Think about the power to bring two opposing groups of people who for years and years and years have not gotten along, have hated each other, and God is able to bring those people together through Christ into one unified body. This is not an artificial unity. This is real unity. God just destroys the barrier between them and then unites them together in Christ Jesus. And then we get back to Paul, chapter 3, what we looked at originally. I think probably the reason Paul is telling this story about how God has given him this gift, and he talks about how to me, the least of the apostles, he gave this gift, is because of where Paul came from. Do you remember his story when he was Saul? Acts chapter 7. The Jews are stoning Stephen to death. Paul is standing there approving of his murder. And then the next verses we read in chapter 8, a great persecution arises in the church. Saul, Paul, as he comes to be known, is one of the main people behind that. And if you turn over quickly to Acts chapter 9, it describes a little of that. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. But then we know the rest of the story, right? Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, out of the blue, unexpectedly, a light from heaven flashed around him. And that light was Jesus. And he convicted Paul on that road. And he made Paul go and think a little while without his sight about what he'd been doing, about how he viewed life, about his understanding of God and what God was doing in the world. Long enough that God, through His Spirit, convicted Paul. He changed his thinking. He repented. Of course, God sent Ananias to him to help him do that. And then he was baptized and became, arguably, the greatest missionary in the history of the church. Saul, the persecutor, becomes Paul, the proclaimer of Christ. Talk about a gift. I want you to think for a moment as I close this lesson. I want you to think about where you are. Maybe you're not a Christian at all. If you're not in Christ, that means you're not in a relationship with God. That means you have not received His saving grace. And God can make you alive just like He has the rest of us here today who are Christians. He can give you a brand new life. I want you to think about if you're here today and maybe you're at odds with somebody. Maybe there's some relationship, some important relationship in your life where you're separated from someone. There's a barrier between you and them. God has the power through Jesus Christ to break that barrier down and restore that relationship. That's what He wants to do. And that's what He's able to do. If you will surrender to Him and let Him work in your life. And then last of all, God wants to use those of us here today who are Christians to spread the mystery of the gospel of Christ to people around us. This is something that we don't do of our own accord, just by our own desires or wishes, but we do by the grace and the power of God. I want you to think seriously today about where you are in your life. There's another verse in Ephesians that I want to bring to your attention as we finish. It's Ephesians chapter 1. It's in the context of the blessing that Paul pours out to God for all the great things He's done through Christ and the grace that He's given us to the praise of His glory. It says three times. In verse 10, he says he put this into effect, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And here's the purpose of all that God was doing or has done or is doing. to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we live in a really messed up world. Think about that. Think about how are we going to make our world a better place? It's not going to be through environmental issues, making our environment better. It's not going to be through just think of all the things that we try to do to make our world a better place, especially political things. You know, who are we going to elect? Who's going to be our president? Who's going to be our representative? And the person who can bring unity among people is God through Jesus Christ. His desire, his purpose, and all that he has done is to bring everything together under and through Christ. And what he's done through Christ has the power to affect that. We're part of that. That is the gift that we've been given that I think we could never have expected to have been given. Today, if you're not a Christian, I hope you'll think about these things. Think about what God can do and what he wants to do in your life. And as a Christian, think about how God can work more powerfully in your life if you will trust him. If you'll come today, repenting of your sins and being baptized, God will give you a brand new start by faith. You're not earning anything. You still don't deserve it, but you're entrusting yourself to God alone who can do it. I encourage you to do that today while we stand and sing.